Okay, William. Hey, here I am. I'm back again. Daddy-o's got a brand new book for you, a big story, a whole bunch of them. Woohoo! Well, this is a book on Glubb's Law, or maybe cashing in on Glubb's Law. Now, if you remember back when I was telling you about Uncle Key's Cafe, and we were talking about how a GP, Gustave Panier, had driven up to Applenold to find Uncle Key, and then he'd been sent the wrong way, and he'd almost got to the back of Glubb's Glacier, the glacier that was on the other side of Troll Mountain, and he got attacked. Oh my goodness, he got attacked by three teen trolls. You remember them, Grassy, Rocky, and Bernie. Oh, and they trashed his Jeep. Oh, his beautiful, beautiful Jeep. Oh, they trashed his Jeep. They smashed it up. They tore his seats out. They tore the tires off. They did everything they could to disable it and have some good old fun. And I have to remind you that it wasn't just the Jeep they trashed. They trashed his ultra-sensitivity omnidirectional wireless mini microphones. They trashed his dynamic decibel dual input digital audio recorder. They trashed his virtual holographic video camera. They almost trashed his supersized journalist's tablet with stylus, so they did trash that one. But they almost trashed his Mega Mini helmet cam with voice control. But it was Squeaky Toy who got that back and brought it back to Strong Bones and GP. And they almost got his Pico Pixelator telephoto camera, but he was hanging on to that. They did trash his Super Wi-Fi self-signal amplifier router, and he almost lost his 2 GB stereo earphones with Wi-Fi and earplugs and voice-activated microphone, but he happened to have those on when he climbed the tree. And he also had his infra-ultra day-night microscope. They didn't get that, but he lost his high-frequency crudo-OA safety whistle because it didn't work on trolls. They smashed that all up. Woohoo! They had a fun time. They were having so much fun, they weren't paying attention to a very single important fact. They were breaking Glubb's Law. Now, you got to know a little bit about trolls. I know you know some things about trolls. I know you know they have the troll romp, and they live in Troll Mountain, and they're pretty ugly, and they have bad breath, and they don't shave generally, and they're really not friendly people. But there are some things you have to know about trolls and Mr. Glubb. Now, Mr. Glubb runs a very tight troll community. He is. And people who have seen Mr. Glubb say he is actually very reasonable. But he understands. He understands that trolls are grumpy by nature. And they like to get into things. And they like to take things. And troll teenagers are the worst of the lot. Because once you let them out and let them go free, oh my goodness, nothing is safe. So Mr. Glubb created a law. And that was that any troll raiding party that goes out, any troll raiding party has to sign in and then get a certification stamp. And they have a big egg stamp, they have a big wooden block they have, and they stamp it right in your hand in permanent ink. You have the right to go out, get your certification stamp. And then if you show that coming back, then the guards will let you in. If you don't have it, you better have a secret way to get in and out of the mountain because otherwise you are in trouble. You're in trouble. And Grassy and Bernie and Rocky were all in trouble because they had snuck out one of the back tunnels from Troll Mountain. Now, there are many back tunnels to Troll Mountain, and Mr. Glubb knows this. And he knows that the teen trolls love to go in and out on their own and romp in the glacier and play and stuff like that. And he looks the other way for that. But, if you go out and have a raid, if you touch a human, anything, you break it, you steal it, you destroy it, you use it, anything, then you are liable to Glubb's Law, which says you shall not do that. So, these three trolls, Grassy, Rocky, and Bernie, who thought they were so toughkins, didn't have a certification stamp in their hand, and when they got back to the troll romp, oh my goodness, there it was. They saw it. They'd been out. How did they get out? They weren't out with their parents. And then they had destroyed GP's Jeep. And according to Glubb's Law, Mr. Glubb's Law, Mr. Glubb had to repay any human who had his property destroyed by teens. Now, in reality, what this meant was that the teens could be punished, but most humans didn't know that they could be repaid for stuff that teens had stolen. And two, what human being would ever be brave enough to go to Troll Mountain and try to get in? I mean, come on. That's kind of stupid. So that's where we left it. And so GP had to drive home with Tara Tamara O'Toole Talltale and all the little Talltale kids because they'd been up to see the Troll Mountain romp. And he met Uncle Key and he saved a couple of things. He got his mega camera back and he had all the pictures that were taken from the mega camera when Bernie had it on his head. And then he ran over to the troll romp and he had his pictures that he took and he had the audio that was recorded before they smashed his dynamic decibel dual input digital audio recorder. And it had all that. And he wanted to bring it back to Mr. Glubb because Strongbones had said, Mr. Glubb will give you whatever you want. So GP didn't know how to do that. So he got home to skedaddle and he went back to Washington Gumption University, where, by the way, he was a big hit because he brought back the only recordings of trolls that had ever been made, the only photographs of trolls that had ever been made, let alone trolls trashing a Jeep. And everybody was so excited. They said, "Oh, GP, you are the ultimate of ethnojournalists. You have troll pictures. You should get an interview with a troll." And GP said, "I'd like to get an interview with a troll, but I don't know how to do that. They might bite my ears off," which is true enough. They might, because he might be hungry and say, yummy cookies." So everybody wanted GP to do that, but GP didn't quite know until one day, early fall. Maybe at the end of September or something like that, he got a letter. GP got a letter addressed to him. It was addressed to Mr. Gustav Panier, and it gave his address in Skedaddle, and he opened it up, and it was from Strongbones. And Strongbones said, "Mr. Panier, I am writing to tell you that it is getting on to the end of fall. It is going to be winter at some point in the next month or two, and the snow is going to start to fall. And once the snow falls, Mr. Glubb is going to bring all his trolls inside and lock the big troll gate, and nobody's going to get out until the troll romp in the spring. That's how trolls live." Now, this is an important thing to know, and actually, GP knew this because he had been reading the book Masters of the Underground, Troll Society and Economy by Longstreet Bones, PhD. He had been reading that book, and he had learned some things about trolls. For example, trolls lived in Troll Mountain. Now, how they got there, where they came from, what they nobody knows, but they showed up after the troubles. When the troubles were over, the trolls were there, and they were stealing stuff from a lot of the houses and towns that had sort of been evacuated and burned out, and they stole lots of stuff, lots of stuff. And that's how trolls started thinking, we have a game plan. So part of their economy, part of the way trolls lived, was to steal stuff. So if you ever have anything stolen, think about trolls first. And when they stole stuff, they had to put it someplace. And so they put it in Troll, in the big cavern at the bottom of Troll Mountain. And Mr. Glubb oversaw that cavern. Now, if you've ever seen pictures of dragons, they'll show you a picture of a dragon sitting on a huge mound of golden coins because dragons loved gold. Well, this was like that, only there weren't golden coins. Well, there were some golden coins, but there was everything. You name it. There was computers, there were televisions, there were radio sets, there were CD players, there were record players, there were old radio sets, there were cars, there were trucks, there were things to push soil and move soil, there were bulldozers, you name it. You think of it. And there was somewhere in that cavern. Now, this is exactly what GP would be allowed to choose from if he could make his case to Mr. Glubb. So the letter said, "So please come up to Apple Knoll. We have to go to Troll Mountain. I feel it's my responsibility to help you get a Jeep back or something that will be comparable. And I know they destroyed a lot of your audio recording and video recording equipment. We should probably get that back too. And besides, this is a good time to go see Mr. Glubb because they'll have all the food in, they'll start their fall partying, and they'll be in a good mood because they'll all be fed." Well, most of the time during the winter, trolls ate mushrooms, lots of mushrooms, because they had mushrooms growing all through the halls in Troll Mountain. Oh, mushrooms everywhere. And some of the mushrooms, by the way, glowed in the dark. Very, very, very phosphorescent mushrooms. So when the trolls walked around in their tunnels, they had mushrooms on the walls that not only could they break off and nibble on, if you don't mind eating raw mushroom, but they glowed, and so they had lights, so they didn't need electricity. But they also ate a lot of other stuff, like, for example, chocolate. Trolls love chocolate. Trolls, I don't know if you like chocolate. Well, I think you like chocolate, but trolls love chocolate. chocolate. And so they'll send out special raiding parties. Oh, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 trolls. And they'll go out and scour the countryside. What they love to do most is they love to throw some nails in a road. And when a truck comes by, a big grocery truck, say a big truck going to Mr. Tutty's grocery store. Of course, those aren't big, big trucks. But a truck, big enough truck. Or maybe a truck going to one of the supermarkets in Skedaddle. They'll throw a couple nails on the road and they'll blow out the tires. And then when the truck driver comes down to see what's wrong, he'll walk around the truck and he'll look up and he'll see a line of troll warriors. And most truck drivers who are smart will say, "Yo!" and run away. And then what they do is they open the back and they empty the truck. Empty the truck. Now, because they blew out the tires, they really can't take the truck with them. Though they have taken many a truck and they've driven it. Though trolls don't drive too well, so you figure. But they take out the stuff and they pile it up and they move it someplace to hide it. And then over time, they carry all that stuff back to the mountain. So in the wintertime, they have loaded up with, you name it, everything you could imagine. If you went into their food storeroom, William, oh, you could eat all day and eat all night and eat every day for several months and you'd never stop eating. You'd never get past the first room. But they had cheeses, they had oatmeal, they had bread, they had flour, they had rice, they had dried mangoes, they had, oh, you name it. And then frozen stuff, because they were living under a glacier, they could go up to the top of the mountain and take all the frozen stuff they had stolen. Frozen peas, frozen corn, frozen quiche, frozen, you name it, frozen lollipops, popsicles, they'd store those in the ice. And then when they ate their mushrooms, they could have, corn on the cob. They could have squash. They could have, tomatoes. They love tomatoes. And they had cans. Oh, one room was full of cans and cans and cans of canned tomatoes. They love the tomatoes. They love the cans. And then they take the cans and they take them down to the big mud room in the bottom of Troll Mountain. Now, I guess I got to tell you this too. This was in a book that you might have read or not, called Cute Bones and Troll Mountain. But at the bottom of Troll Mountain is a huge, well, you wouldn't call it a lake. You'd call it like a swamp. It's full of mud. And it's all hot mud because there are hot springs under Troll Mountain. And the trolls love to go down. And they love to hang out and sit in the hot mud and just sit there all day. And they bring picnics. They bring baskets of mushrooms and everything else. And they like their tomato cans because then their troll children can play in the mud and build mud pies and mud patties and you name it. And they love it. And they're always running out of cans because the children are always losing cans. I don't know where the cans go, but they're there. And if you ever read Cute Bones and Troll Mountain, you'll know that Strong Bones rescued the trolls in Troll Mountain after Cute Bones, his darling little sister, who is a rascal and it was a pet for Glabilda, closed off the water. And it almost drowned out Troll Mountain. But that's another story, and you'll have to get that. I will tell it one of these days, or I'll read it, and it'll be there for you. So this is all about trolls. And GP had learned this when he read Masters of the Underground. So he knew that there was going to be a storeroom and that he was going to be able to pick up something to replace his ruined equipment. So Strongbones finished his letter and he said, "So you have to get up here and you have to bring all of your records, any audio you have, any video, any pictures you have, somehow get them up here because we're going to have to show them to Mr. Glub." So GP did that. He got together his backpack. He took his backpack of clothes because he travels light, you know. He doesn't have to have a big suitcase or two. And he threw his clothes in a big backpack. And then he took his other equipment backpack and he threw in his camera. He still had his pixelator left. And he put in an audio recorder. He picked up another audio recorder. And he even took his Mega Mini helmet cam because he thought maybe he could wear that and walk through Troll Mountain with his helmet cam going. They'd never know the difference. And then he picked up all of his records, his thumb drives, his little info drives. He had the ports. He had everything. He just didn't know how he was going to play any of his video or audio because there's no electricity. There's just glowing mushrooms in Troll Mountain. But he didn't think about that. He packed it all together. And he went down, and outside he had an old truck. That's what he'd been able to find after his Jeep was destroyed, an old truck. I have to say, you'd think that maybe he bought it from Dr. Clem Goodlight. It was so old and so bumped up, but he didn't know Dr. Goodlight at that point. So he climbed into his truck, and he roared it up, and drove off to Apple Knoll. Applenull is a ways away. It's up in the mountains, up in the hills. So he had to drive down the big interstate, and then he got off the interstate, and he got onto one of the state roads, which is still big. And then he got off the state road, and he got onto one of the county roads. Oh, that was it. And then he got off the county road, he got onto the dirt road. Oh, that was. Then it almost became narrowed, and then it was almost impassable. Then there was a stream over it. He didn't know if he was going to make it all the way to Applenull, but he did. And he drove into town. Now, this time, instead of roaring in like GP, the ultra ethno journalist, he drove in sedately. And he pulled up to Uncle Key's cafe. And there he almost laughed because instead of just an old guy painting a door, he saw the cafe and the whole window said Uncle Key's Cafe. And he had the key sign up on top so he knew it was the right place. And he pulled over and he got out of the truck and he climbed into Uncle Key's Cafe to see Uncle Key. Well, he'd grown up a lot and he wasn't so arrogant anymore. Well, who did he see behind the counter? Sort of washing up dishes and putting them away for the night's dinner was Uncle Key himself. And then some of his grandchildren were playing around, and his wife was in the back. Lisa Chela was in the back. She was cooking stuff and making soup, and his grandchildren were playing. Oh, his grandchildren, oh, Uncle Key's grandchildren are just the cutest little things you ever saw, but they are absolute monkeys. So watch out, watch your back. So he walked in, and Uncle Key looked up and said, "Why, it's my friend Gustav Panier. I see you're back. Strongbones mentioned you'd be coming back." And GP said, "Yeah, I'm here because we're going to go to Mr. Glubb's. We're going to go see Mr. Glubb, and we're going to try to get back all the stuff that the teen trolls destroyed on me." And Uncle Key just stopped and looked at him. "Do you think that's a good idea?" And GP said, "Well, Strongbones thought it was a good idea." At that point, Uncle Key's grandson jumped up on the counter and started scooting his bottom across. And Uncle Key said, "You get off that, you little monkey. You're going to knock off my glasses," and pushed him off the counter. Oh, these grandchildren, I tell you. So Uncle Key looked at him and said, "Well, I, for one, wouldn't want to try and go with any trolls. I mean, they've taken enough of my shipments coming up here. I've lost quite a bit of really good food, especially the chocolate. They take all the time. I got to figure out secret ways to get chocolate here. And ice cream. They love ice cream. And you know what they do with it? They stick it under that glacier there, and it stays cold all winter. They eat it, especially chocolate ice cream." Well, Uncle Key was going to go on and on, but GP said, "Well, I know, but Strongbone says now is the time to go, and all I have is this crummy old truck here, and it almost breaks down every time I drive it, and it needs new tires, and one of the windows is broken, so I have it held up with duct tape, and it's just not, I need a car. I need something I can drive so I can do my ethnojournalism interviews." So Uncle Key said, Well, I'll tell you what, I'll ring up Strongbones and let him know you're here. And you sit down here. We got a loaf of bread for you." And I think he called in the bag and said, "Lisa Chela, do you have any soup?" And Lisa Chela set her head out and said, "I could figure up some soup. Is this GP? Is this Gustav Panier from way down in Skedaddle?" Oh, and she came over and gave him a big hug. Oh, gave him a big, big hug. And then she said, "Here are my grandchildren, and they're cute. And this is Willy Woo, and this is Lulu Lou." And GP said, "Oh, glad to meet you, Lulu Lou." And then he said, "Oh, Willy Woo, you're kind of a rascal, aren't you?" Willy Woo just grinned at him and said, "I have a project." So Willy Woo sat down with him while he ate his soup, and he played with his Mega Legos, because the Mega Legos were all they got up in Applenull. They didn't have like Robo Legos the way they have in Skedaddle, because Robo Legos are kind of new and they're expensive. But the Mega Legos, well, they've been there for a long time. So he played with his Mega Legos, and GP ate his soup. And then Uncle Key called up Strongbones and said, "Hey, Strongbones, guess who's here? Your friend GP, Gustav Panier from way down in Skedaddle. He's saying something about Mr. Glubb." Strongbones said, "Oh, yeah. I told him that we had to go and confront Mr. Glubb." "Oh, well, you better get down here, because I don't know if that's a good idea." Strongbones said, "Well, I think I'll come." And then Uncle Key called up again. And you know who he called? He called Marvel Raptrack. You remember Marvel Raptrack? Marvel Raptrack's a pretty good guy. And he said, "Marvel, get down here. We need your help. I think I know what this kid's going up for. We need you to bring down your audio video digitized presentation device. You know the one you've been working on that's battery powered?" And Marvel Raptrack said, Oh yeah. All right, I'll be over." Well, Marvel Raptrack had developed this super duper audio visual digital projector. and it looked like a tube. It was just a tube, and it had a little tripod. You could set it down, and it would be there. And if you turned it on, it had a battery, and it was had a solar collector, so it you didn't need batteries. Didn't have to go and get Duracells. You could just put it in the sunlight, and it would be charged. And then, if you stuck a little thumb drive or a Pixo info drive in, or one of the many little ways that you can store information, then it would pick that up, and it would run a little program, and it would start showing the pictures on your thumb drive. Or if you had a movie, it would run the movie. And if you had audio, for example, the shouts of crazy troll teens destroying your Jeep, you could play that through little speakers that were very ingeniously stuck along the side of the tube. Oh, he loved it. And this was his audio video digitizer projector. Oh, he was just made this. And so he said, "Oh, well, I wonder why Uncle Key wants this." But he took it off the shelf. He grabbed it. He put it in his little. He had a little protector, a little tube. He stuck it in. He put that in, and he went out and he climbed onto his little mini helicopter, and he took off. He flew through the air. He just flew. It was a little ultralight mini helicopter he loved, and he flew all the way to Apple Knoll, and he put it right down on Uncle Key's roof. Because Uncle Key had a little flat roof that was there just for Marvel Rap Track. And he climbed out and grabbed his audio video digital projector, and he brought it down. And there was GP. Oh, he came in and slapped him on the back. "Gustav Pontiac, GP, my pal, how are you doing? I haven't seen you since you were up here long ago. How's Skedaddle? How's the world?" Well, GP was kind of, this was kind of nice. He's coming to Apple Knoll. And he's just coming up here to, go do see Mr. Glove, and all these people are patting him on the back and giving him hugs, and it's like he's got every friend in the world, and they're all here at Apple Knoll. So he said, "Oh, I'm going up to see Mr. Glove because we've got to get back the equipment that the trolls destroyed. They destroyed it on me." And he started to go into all the things they did. Marvel Rap Track said, "Oh dear, I know trolls. If you knew trolls, why I knew trolls. I have watched trolls at work, and I can tell you, teen trolls." Teen trolls ain't nothing. You should see a couple of adult trolls take on, say, a warehouse. Ooh-hoo! You want to see something ripped apart? Whoa! So I understand what you're saying. So then Strongbone showed up. "Hey, GP, my buddy, GP!" And he gave him a big hug. He said, "How are you doing, man?" And they clapped hands. And then GP told him all about the stuff that had happened when he got home from Skedaddle, and how his school, his Washington McGumption Ethnojournalism School, had feted him, had clapped him, had almost given him his PhD all from there because he had the first recordings of trolls. But he said, "No, I want to write a proper report, and I'm going to publish this. This is going to be good." So he was getting famous because he was the only one in the world that had audio and video of trolls. And Strongbone said, "Well, did you bring copies? Did you bring what you have? Because we got to show it to Mr. Glove and convince him. Because Mr. Glove isn't a pushover. You got to convince him. We got to convince him that he owes you something." And GP said, I do. I have it. I've got it. It's right here." And he pulled out his thumb drives. He had a bunch of thumb drives, 128 gigabyte thumb drives. And he said, "Look, I got this one. This is my video. And this is from my Mega Mini Helmet Cam with voice control. And you can hear them laughing at me." "Okay. Whoa. Okay. Well, we need a way to project it." And Strongbones looked at Marvel Rap Track and said, Marvel, what about that thing you're working on, that audio video digitizer projector?" And Marvel just looked there and grinned and said, "Oh, you too, huh? Well, here it is. I have it." And he pulled out his tube. And his tube was maybe, oh, 10 inches long. It wasn't a big, huge tube. And in it was his audio video digitizer projector. And he said, "This is it." And Strongbones said, "Can we use that?" Marvel Raptrek said, "This is the only one in the world. This is the only one in the world. I just invented it. Well, we need it. We need it to show Mr. Glove because there's no other way to show him stuff. There's no electricity. All we have is fluorescent mushrooms, and they're not going to do the trick." Marvel said, "Oh, okay. Well, you can have it. You can have it." And then he said, "So when are you going to see Mr. Glove?" Strongbones looked at GP and said, "Well, GP, you're here a little sooner than I thought, but tomorrow, the next day is supposed to be really good weather. How about going to Mr. Glove's tomorrow?" And GP said, "Well, we can do that, but how are we going to get up there?" And then Strongbones looked at Marvel and he said, "Marvel, think you could take the two of us over the mountain in your little mini helicopter and drop us off?" And Marvel Rapjack just looked at Strongbones and he trotted up straight and he said, "Strongbones, you know I can't do that. Frickin' First of all, there's a law that I can't fly over Troll Mountain. That's Troll Mountain. That is Troll Mountain. I'm not flying near Troll Mountain. And second, no, my mini helicopter will only take two people, and one of them has to be light, not you. Well, Strong Bones was kind of a big boy. He said, "Oh, huh, well, we have to figure out a way to get up there." He drummed on the table. They said, "I know, I know. We'll go borrow Tuggy Tuddy's motorbike. That's how we got down. I can do that again. He'll let me, because if I just fill it with gas, he'll let it." And Strong Bones took off. And then everybody sat down and started talking to GP at once, wanted to know how he was doing, what was it like in Washington Gumption University, and did how was things going? Did he had he done any other interviews? Had he learned anything about troll talk? Blah blah blah. And they talk, 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 talk. And Strong Bones roared back on the motorbike. Brum! He pulled in, he said, Hey, I got it. Tuggy Tuddy says I can use it if I just bring it back in good condition and fill it with gas." "Oh, good." So Strong Bones said, "Look, GP, come on over to my house. You can meet my dad. Probably my cousin Weak Knees will show up and want to bother you, but he's cool. And you can meet my little sister Cute Bones. Watch out for Cute Bones. You think Willie Will here is kind of tricky. Watch out for Cute Bones. But she's good, and she's got a little cat called Persimmon. You'll like Persimmon. And then you can meet my mom and my dad. We'll have a great night. They'll feed you again." He looked down at all the food the GP had finally finished because, well, Lisa Taylor had brought out the soup, and then Uncle Key had made a couple big, huge sandwiches, and he ate those sandwiches. And then, I don't know what had happened, but somehow this big bowl of chocolate ice cream appeared, and GP was finishing that bowl of chocolate ice cream too. He loved it. And then he looked up at Strong Bones and said, "Well, I could probably eat something for dinner." So Strong Bones laughed and said, "Okay, well, we're gonna have it. I don't know what my mom's got, but I know she's got some apple pie." Oh, GP liked that one too. So Uncle Key said, "Well, I guess you boys are off in the morning. You'll probably be up before me because you have to get going right and early. But when you get back, dinner's on me." And Marvel Rap Track said, "Oh, and when you get back, come on over. I'll show you around, and we can look at my new inventions." Then he thought for a second, and he said, "Oh!" And out of his pocket, what did he pull? He pulled a little communicator device. He said, "Now this is very, very new. I'm just working on this. It's not a cell phone. It's not going to run on juice. It's a communicator though. And if you need help, you just press the button, this button, and there were two buttons on it. Press this button, and you talk into it and tell what you need. And then you press that button, and it'll come to me. And I will get you the help you need. So if you run into any problems, any big troll problems, anything at all, well, I know what I'll do. I will call the Mountain Patrol, and they will get on it and rescue you." Oh, thanks. And GP started and put it in his pocket. Then he gave Lisa Taylor a big hug, and he patted Lily Willy Wool on the head, and he patted Lululu right on the head, and he gave Uncle Key a hug, and he gave Marvel and said, "Thanks, Marvel. I really appreciate your audio video digitizer projector. I'll use it." And he put that in his backpack, and he climbed in his truck, and he followed Strong Bones home. And Strong Bones introduced him to his mom and his dad and Weak Knees and Cute Bones and everybody else, all the animals and pets. They had a wonderful night together, and then they went to sleep because they had to get up early, 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 which is what you have to do to go to school. So, this is just the introduction. I just wanted to give you the background because the story starts tomorrow. All right, William, you have a good night's sleep. I love you, big kid. You have fun. Give your sister Lauren a hug and a kiss. Give your mama and dada a hug and a big kiss. They're such wonderful people, and I will talk to you again. Good night, sweet William.